of them that has been undermining. We have learned about things. It is not honest to come poach someone's market vendors and then them send it to us asking us what's going on. Just be up and up. We don't have a chit in this. I don't make any money. I do it on my own time. Jared does it on her own time. And so just if you guys want it, fine, have it. There wouldn't be this. We don't have to spend this money as taxpayers and waste your guys' time when we just had a hurricane on something petty as a farmer's market. But if there's going to be behind the scenes, which I was told Marco Beck has been working directly with Mike Disher, that's not okay. That's not up and board, and that's not transparent, and that's not for everybody in the community to know what's going on. So I ask that if you want this, fine. We have no problem with it, but let's be up and board and up and be honest and know how many people, because in the proposal, it says the northwest side. Me being a PECI member of over 6 years, there's 14 spaces on the northwest side and four by the building and one handicapped. And like John said, Sunday they have the church. I talked to the church pastor. He doesn't want people inside the community center. They're saying, we'll have it at the community center so people can use the bathroom. North Turn has opened up their bathroom at 8 in the morning. Open up their restaurant to anybody who wants to use it. So I'm just saying a lot of things that you've been presented with to change it and have it have a market is not true. Farmers market through the picky or whatnot, it is not on a Sunday. Have it on a weeknight, that's great. But on a Sunday with the church, with picky players, with the pickleball players, it's just very upsetting. But also for all the work we put into it for 2 years and people are happy. So once again, I'll conclude. I'm only saying this because the vendors have been heard. We talk to the vendors all the time. And unfortunately, I didn't drag them in this because this was first reading. But about 8 wanted to come and on behalf of us and how it's going and how much they like being at North Turn. I did not involve North Turn either because they are great for our community. Brad and Mary love having the market. All the managers do. But they do other things in the community too. And they've just given us the space. So it's not about not having a market, not having it every week. We'd love to have it every week. How the zoning is there, as if no one knows, it is a residential zoning. So we are working now with, we can propose and have 2 or 3 people submit a request to have an event there and have it every week if we want to do that. We haven't gotten to that step yet because we're battling this, which is ridiculous when we have a successful market. So again, thank you. I know you've supported it, Madam Mayor. We appreciate you supporting the market. All you council members, Skip and Jane coming to get their tomatoes for the produce, we appreciate that. And again, it's this Sunday. Everyone's very excited, and then we're doing the donation drive for the hurricane victims also. So thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Is there anyone else that would? Yes, Mike Kazuba.
Hi, Mike Kazuba, 4590 South Atlantic Avenue. I'm also the chair of the planning board. I voted for the special exemption for the farmers market, but that's kind of not the point I want to make here. I wanted to piggyback on something that John talked about, and that was the situation that we had where even though it was legal and kosher and all of those things, it was very awkward to have Mark sitting on the dais answering questions, even though he recused himself. It was awkward for, I know it was awkward for Mark. It was certainly awkward for me as the chair. And I was disappointed that the that Picky didn't have someone in the audience that could have addressed this issue instead of putting Mark on the spot as it happened that meeting. And I just wanted to raise that as sort of a procedural point going forward, especially if this issue does weave its way back to the planning board, that we not end up in the same pickle that we were in at last month's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Yeah, Barbara? Oh, Barbara.
Oh, Barbara Davis, 4871 Selfish Drive. So despite all the controversy about North Turner, I mean, the question should a farmer's market be allowed at the community center for the benefit of the public? It's a public space. Food trucks are allowed because we have the food truck events. The arts and crafts show is there. And I don't understand why this wasn't an issue back when the ordinance was written. I think because there wasn't a farmer's market. So I think if you look at this, what we're looking at now is it's something kind of new. Do we allow a farmer's market in a public space to serve the public? And I just don't see why there's a difference between a food truck being there, and we have the arts and crafts there with food inside and everything, but farmer's markets have not been allowed. And particularly, it's not that we're saying, okay, you can go there whenever you want. It's there's still the special exception requirement. So, I mean, I don't see, and, you know, so North Turn is hosting it now. 7-Eleven hosted it before. That can change. But as a community center event, we definitely would want a farmer's market there, just like food trucks, the arts and crafts show. We have that little flea market thing outside sometimes. So I just don't see the difference there.
So thank you.
I would like to have the farmer's market at the community center.
You would like to have it there. Thank you, Barbara. Pete?
Peter Finch, 106 Rains Drive. I'm on the board at the community center, and I can tell you that as of today, or at least for the last 6 months at least, there have been no discussions as to having a farmer's market at the community center. I believe what we were looking for as a board was the opportunity to put in an application to have one, and I think that's what you're arguing about today. Am I correct? Okay. So right now, we're not having discussions about having a farmer's market at the community center.
You know, you're absolutely right. The only thing we are discussing is for an opportunity to have it in the future if you so desire.
Right. Okay.
That
Thank
is
you.
It. Thank you, Pete. Thank you. You know, you're entitled to come up one time under our rules. I'm sorry. So, does anyone have any more discussion up here as a result of what you heard?
No. Just basically what I said before. The only thing we're doing is passing the special exception. We're not doing anything concerning the farmer's market. As you just heard, they're not even discussion concerning it. So, I mean, I feel comfortable with the original recommendation that we do it because we're not saying we're putting the farmer's market there. We're just saying we're going to have a special exception. So if something down the road comes up, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a farmer's market. It could be something else. It just gives us the ability to do it.
Gary?
Well, I'm somewhat confused after listening to all of the interesting information that I just heard. I thought initially we were doing this because the existing farmers market didn't have a place to go. And so we were looking for a place to retain them. Well, now I hear they're happy at North Turn, and the issue was brought up that, well, Picky wants to compete with the farmers market, and there could be two. That wasn't the intent at all. It was to find a home for the existing one. And that's what we have approving this. We have now that option if it ever is needed in the future. And they become unhappy with that. I am against having Picky create or try to create a competition to that farmer's market. So, but I'm okay with what we're trying to do here.
And now that the council have spoken again, is there anybody who wishes to come up and speak? Nicole? You're next, Chair.
Thank you again, Madam Mayor. I just want to clarify, yes, sir, we do have a place. When Kim Canny first did the letter, it was after we had spoken to have it at the Picky before we had told North Turn we'll hold off because we did listen to the people at Ponce Inlet, and they said, yeah, let's have it at Picky. We're not opposed to that. There's no opposition to having it picky. But when Kim Canty came back and said they are not going to, and it says right there, communication closed about this subject, it was to have the ordinance. It had nothing to do with the market, and they want it on Sundays. I later learned on May 14th, which now I hear the board doesn't even know this, but Mark Obeck sent an email to all our vendors saying, and I will supply it to you, I'm sorry it was in the packet, but I just found it, that the city council, he blamed it on you guys, are still discussing the new zoning, and the market will not start in fall. He had told all the vendors, because we took off summer, coming back in the fall, it will be at the picky. So I had vendors calling. I said, no, we're happy at North Turn, we're fine at North Turn. If you want it moved, fine. North Turn, they're just love being part of the community. That's not the point here. The point here, let's be up and up about it. If you want to do it, fine. Let us talk to you but through the vendors. Let's do this right and be honest. But you have board members saying they didn't know about it. You have Kim Canty just told someone a month ago she doesn't want, she's washing her hands of it. Volunteers have to do it. We have an email saying the volunteers are busy on Sundays. It takes a lot of work. So if you don't have someone to run it, all the things that Ms. Davis brought up, yeah, they have great events there, but you have the volunteers for years doing it, just like Jared and I have done for 2 years, have done the farmers market. You need the people behind it. You have to have the rapport with the vendors, or you're going to be like Holly Hill, which some of our vendors won't even go to Holly Hill, and some of the vendors that come to us have been kicked out of other markets because of how they've been, but we love having them. My point being is that the point isn't the market at the picky. That's fine. If I asked for it. Actually, when I was on the board, and Pete Finch can verify this, I asked, can we do the market here? And we were told no because of this ordinance. So I said, great. That's when we started with the little, and Jer and Helen could find a new place for it. And Mike O'Shaughnessy gave us the parking lot, not 7-Eleven, the parking lot to host it there. And then he needed that parking lot for parking. So that's when North Turn said, hey, have it here. When Skip and other people said, oh, the town wants it at Picky, that's when we started all the discussions, which Patty knows, Darren knows, even Mike, Disher, y'all have the emails. They refused to meet with us because of personal reasons, not because of the town, and they would not, and the communication was closed. Then we're told it's put on this agenda in September and now here. And then, ever since, the vendors have been coming to me saying this and that. So to clarify, everyone's very happy. Maybe some people aren't because it's not weekly, but you know the people at the vendors are also have full-time jobs, so some of them are happy that it's every other week. We are looking to have it a couple more times a month. But one thing I can tell you is when we had it monthly, sometimes we didn't have anybody. Because, and this isn't a negative because I do it, oh, it'll be there next week. It'll be there next week. They know, and if you're not on Facebook, that's not my problem. I'm sorry, but we have it on Facebook, Instagram. I give it to Becky. The dates, Racing North Turn puts them on there. It's very out there when we're going to have the market. We didn't have it Sunday because of the hurricane. I'm not going to have a market when people are suffering. So we all volunteered instead. But my point being is that they do know the dates. I communicate, and I can show you the communication chain with every vendor. And the vendor that was up here today was given an email on Tuesday asking if she was coming on Sunday, and we have not heard back. So it's a give and take, but there's a lot of work behind it. And if one board member, I just heard, hasn't heard anything in 6 months, then there is stuff going on behind the scene on that board that's not okay, because that represents all of us in Ponson Lake, because it's the picky, you know, for all of us in the community. But again, we have a very good farmers market going on now. If they want it, the picky, fine. Let us just do the process to hand it over so you have the same great volunteers and vendors and go from there. But I don't have ownership. I'm fine handing it over. Let's just do it the right way and be courteous to everybody up and board.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Because I've been to several farmers markets at various places, and it always amazed me that this little town could support a farmer's market. Is it worth your while to be here? Do you get a reasonable turnout? And is it profitable for you to come here rather than someplace else?
So I just do it as the host. I don't have a booth in it.
You don't know.
I have talked to the vendors, a couple of the vendors, as the Delphine, she was actually came to our market, and then we got her into food truck, and she went to other markets. She met other vendors, and she's at other markets. A lot of them go to the other markets. Several of our food, like the Uncle Chris, the one everyone wants, the Smash Burgers, people order food from them too. They've done very well here. The plant ladies, hit or miss, some people come, the produce, but people do like having it every other week or a couple times a month. The feedback we've gotten is we don't need it every month because you don't need honey every month or whatnot. So for me, I don't make anything, but when anyone comes to our town, they say they do well, and they love the people of the town, so they like having it, and they love setting up right at North Turn in front of the beach, and then North Turn has the brunch. But if the town people, the people, not certain people on a community center, but the people of Ponce Inlet want it at the Picky, fine. Let's just do it the up-and-up way with everybody involved.
Thank you.
As I said to begin with, we only started this because we didn't know that you had a home to go to.
Right.
And if you're happy with where you are, then and I think we should approve what we're going to do today, doesn't mean you have to go there. You stay where you want to go. But if the issue comes up that something happens at North Turn, you will have an alternate spot.
Well, and thank you for that. And we've been told very clearly by Kim Canny and Mark Obeck that we are not welcome, that they'll handle it themselves. So we're not going to compete. If the town of Ponce Inlet, us taxpayers, want it at the Picky, they can have it. I can be at the golf course on Sundays. But if they don't, I'll be very happy being at North Trip 5 in the morning and having a great market for everybody.
Thank you. This has been very helpful
thank
to
you.
Me.
Thank you, Nicole. Come, Jer. And then I see Kathy in the back. Okay.
I just wanted to make the comment that the good thing about all this discussion is that the town is getting very involved in the farmers markets issue. And one of the things I'd like to point out is that we have had, we had Ian and Nicole, we had a very hot summer, and we lost markets and people coming to our market. One of the issues for us has been getting enough residents involved in going to the market. Those who come find it very beneficial, and we sometimes get the snowbirds who also come and like it while they're in Ponce. But the truth is, it doesn't get the kind of traffic that New Smyrna gets or the Pavilion gets. And I'm very happy if the town council gets more involved in this, because I think with help from you, we could make this a market that competes with Ormond Beach and with New Smyrna and with the Pavilion, because we have wonderful vendors. They are usually at one of the other markets as well, and they can tell you that people really do, those who know their stuff appreciate them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jer. Kathy?
Hi, Kathy Harvey, 41 Loggerhead, Madam Mayor. Council. I just have a question. In regards to the farmer's market, I really don't have a dog in this fight or a hunt.
Can you speak up?
Oh, yeah.
A bit?
I really don't have any vested interest in the farmer's market. I've attended it. I don't really care about it. I think the prices are ridiculous. It doesn't matter. It's not something I would do. I did ask for a public records request on this before because my neighbor keeps getting assassinated in here, Kim Canny. I really respect her. I really like her. Is this how it goes, that two people who are not here to comment are getting slaughtered? I have not enjoyed this session as it hit. I think it's really disrespectful. It was out of line. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe this is kosher. I just think that it should have stopped. Somehow it should have stopped. I don't like it when people can't defend themselves. And I just think this was way out of order. Just saying. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Kathy. Is there anyone else who wishes to comment? Okay.
Mayor, if there's not, can I add some information, please?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I want to clarify a statement that was, correct a statement that was said about me somehow, Mark Obeck working with me on this, that the only thing that he asked me was the process, how to initiate this process. That's been it. Another thing that should be pointed out is the difference between what is being asked and then what they might have to go through. So this, what you have before you now is a change to the zoning ordinance that would allow this as a special exception use. You know, to Mr. Carney's point, this is not the time when we go through a detailed site analysis. if this ordinance gets approved, it would establish a process by which the community center or even the town of Ponce Inlet as property owner would make an application, would apply. That's when you get into the detailed site analysis. The farmers markets are ultimately limited by parking. You have to have a certain number of spaces for a certain number of vendors. If you don't have the spaces, you're going to have a smaller market. That is the point at which this occurs. Another distinction that needs to be made is the difference between a farmer's market allowed as a special exception and one that is allowed through a special event permit. A special exception, which is being proposed now, would allow a farmer's market to occur every single weekend throughout the year. Under a special event permit, which the current farmer's market has now, only allows 12 times per year. The Picky Board could apply for their own special event permit at the community center and have a farmer's market there 12 times. That's basically once a month. They could do that right now. That's how they were doing the food trucks, is also through that same process. So this would only, what we're talking about here, would only allow, or it would allow them to apply to have it every weekend if they wanted to. If they don't, if it doesn't get approved, then they still have that available through the special event permit process. Now, when the existing farmers market first started, they got a special exception to operate out of Harbor Village, which is commercially zoned. So that did go through a very detailed site analysis. Our former planner, Adam Mendenhall, worked very closely with Ms. Carr to come up with a number of vendors. He even came up with a site layout. They worked on that very closely together. But when that permission was withdrawn, they had to go then to where they are now, and they are operating currently under a special event permit 12 times per year. That's it.
Mike, thank you for that information and the clarification. I think we're at a time where we can entertain a motion on first reading of this ordinance.
I'd like to make a motion to recommend approval of proposed ordinance 2024-06, amending section 2.40, table of permitted uses to include farmers markets as a major special exception use in the P-1 zoning district, excluding 14 of the 17 P-1 zoned properties.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Perutzky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, this will, just a reminder, this will come back before you the following month for second reading of this ordinance.
Yes, it'll come back for second reading in...
at the November meeting.
November meeting. Okay. Thank you for the public participation. We are up to 11C, Ordinance 2024-08. Is that right?
No, B.
I'm sorry. Ordinance 2024-07, this is first reading, amending the Code of Ordinances to substitute references of the Code Enforcement Board with a special magistrate. Cliff, would you read the ordinance by title only, please?
Yes, Mayor. Ordinance number 2024-07, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending the Code of Ordinances, Chapter 1, General Provisions, Chapter 2, Administration, Chapter 6, Alcoholic Beverages, Chapter 10, Animals, Chapter 18, Buildings and Building Regulations, Chapter 34, Environment, Chapter 42, Offenses and Miscellaneous Provisions, Chapter 46, Parks and Recreation, Chapter 51, Special Events, Chapter 62, Solid Waste, Chapter 66, Stormwater and Conservation, Chapter 70, Streets, Sidewalks, and Other Public Places, Chapter 74, Traffic and Vehicles, Chapter 78, Utilities, and Chapter 82, Vegetation, to replace references to the Code Enforcement Board with Special Magistrate and to update related definitions and procedures, providing for severability and providing for conflicts and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Thank you, Cliff. Mike?
Yes, Darren Lear will present this one as well.
Thank you. This item was developed to implement the directive to staff to draft language to shift from a code board utilizing an appointed volunteer board to a special magistrate enforcement process. This amendment changes the references found throughout the Code of Ordinances ordinance pertaining to code enforcement boards. This proposed amendment makes changes to 15 chapters in the Code of Ordinances. Chapter 162 of the Florida statutes authorizes the use of a special magistrate to enforce codes and ordinances. A special magistrate is an attorney and member of the Florida Bar who is appointed by town council to preside over code enforcement matters. They are appointed to hear and decide code violations. They can issue orders to bring violations into compliance, such as fines, repair costs, and administrative costs. At the July 18, 2024 town council meeting, staff was directed to proceed with drafting ordinances to make this transition to the special magistrate process. In our view, this will make for a more efficient and streamlined code process. Amendments to three articles of the Land Use Development Code regarding this transition are presented in the next item following this. And with that, staff recommends approval of ordinance number 2024-07.
Thank you very much. I know we've discussed this already, and this deals with changing language in an ordinance. Does anyone have any questions on this one? No questions on this. Does anybody in the audience wish to ask any questions or comment? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lear. And seeing none, is there a motion? A first reading motion.
I'll make a motion to recommend approval of proposed ordinance 2024-07, amending chapters 1, 2, 6, 10, 18, 34, 42, 46, 51, 62, 66, 70, 74, 78, and 82 of the Code of Ordinances to substitute references of the Code Enforcement Board with special magistrate.
On first reading.
On first reading.
Thank
second.
You. We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella.
Yes.
Councilmember Milano.
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky.
Yes.
Councilmember White.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, Mr. Lear, we are now up to 11C, Ordinance 2024-08 on first reading. Cliff, would you read it by title only, please?
Yes, Mayor. Ordinance number 2024-08, an ordinance of the read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending the Land Use and Development Code, Article 3, Use Regulations, Article 8, Enforcement, and Article 9, Definitions and Rules of Interpretation, to replace references to the Code Enforcement Board with special magistrate, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing an effective date.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lear?
Yes, thank you. As previously mentioned, this is the amendments to the land use, three articles of the Land Use Development Code to transition to a special magistrate. This was approved at your last planning board meeting in September. And with that, staff recommends approval of ordinance number 2024-08.
Thank you. And I think we're all familiar with this one as well. So are there any questions up here? None? None? Anyone in the audience wish to ask a question or make a comment? No? Okay. Seeing none, we'll have a motion.
I make a motion for approval of the proposed ordinance 2024-08, amending Articles 3, 8, and 9 of the Land Use and Development Code to substitute references of the Code Enforcement Board with the special magistrate.
Did you say on first reading?
On first reading.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. And Mayor, if I could add one thing to this as well. Yeah, this is again, its first reading, so this will come back next month. But also, the ordinances are designed to take effect at such time as the town hires a special magistrate.
Okay.
Ordered that way in the ordinance. And
yes, okay. We'll go.
Mentioned, yeah, there are quite a lot of references, more than we first thought when we started getting into this. But yeah, I think we got them covered.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to make sure that before we start on the next agenda item, I don't see Braden, our young man from college, did not make it here, because once we start the lien abatement process, I don't think it's appropriate to interrupt. So he may show up, and hopefully we'll be able to get to him, though, before he has to leave. So we're up to item 13A. There is a lien abatement request. Mr. Hooker?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Attorney Smith, Attorney Shepard. The agenda item before you this evening or this afternoon is a request for a code enforcement lien abatement through Mr. Joseph at 4745 South Atlantic Avenue, Unit 404. Mr. Joseph is formally requesting the abatement of a code enforcement lien totaling $48,000, which was imposed on November 9th, 2021. The lien consists of a $47,750 fine accrued over 955 days at a daily rate of $50 per day, plus the $250 administrative fee. Property was brought into compliance on June 21st, 2024. On June 17th, 2021, staff noticed construction activity taking place on the subject property. Property owner was then notified that a permit was required for the bathroom remodel. After several weeks of no response, notice of violation was sent to the property owner. Several additional weeks passed without further action from the property owner. As a result, a formal notice of hearing was issued on September 2nd, 2021. At the September 2021, staff received an email from Mr. Joseph requesting a continuance of the hearing to the October session so they can secure the necessary permits required. Code Enforcement Board heard the case on October 25, 2021. The owner was found to be in violation of the relevant sections of town code and was given a deadline of November 8, 2021 to have a contractor secure the necessary permits. A subsequent hearing on November 15, 2021, and staff presented testimony confirming noncompliance of the original order. As a result, the Code Enforcement Board imposed a $50 per day fine in addition to that $250 administrative fee until the property reached compliance. Between August 2022 and June 2024, staff received multiple inquiries from various individuals identifying themselves as contractors, seeking information on the necessary steps to obtain a permit. On June 21st, 2024, staff received the permit application for the work that needed to be completed. Permit was issued, and the final inspection was conducted and passed on August 21st, 2024. Ms. Joseph is here if you have any questions for her.
Before we move to the applicant and the application for the reduction, Dave, I want to just recap the applicant's participation in this process. The owners received the notice of violation in June of 2021, and 2 months later, in September, the formal notice of hearing went out, and then they did reach out by email to you on September 20th, and there was a continuance at their request of the code board from September 27 to October 21, but they did not appear at either hearing. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And they were provided from the time of the original notification in June of 2021 of the violation through November 8th to secure the permits without a penalty. So they had that period of time to
correct.
Secure a permit and there would be no penalty.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Then on November 15th, the board itself imposed the fine, and the owner was not at that meeting either. Were they?
Correct. They were not.
Okay. So we have three board meetings where their case was presented and discussed, and they had notice. I assume they had notice?
Correct.
And they did not appear. So there was the staff time leading up to the notifications to the owners, preparation of the case, three meetings with our board volunteers, and we had two attorneys we were paying at these three meetings. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Other than what was provided in the staff report, are you in receipt of any medical bills or financial statements from the applicant?
I have not. Everything I've received is in your packet.
Is in the packet. Okay. Okay. So before the applicant comes up, does anyone have any specific questions of Dave?
Yes.
No.
You do. You do?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Dave, as I was going through the packet and I was looking at the dates.
Bill.
Oh, it's on.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Okay. When I was looking through the dates, I noticed that The public record request was made on July 18, 2022, and then I didn't see any communication until the building permit and the inspection in 2024. So we went almost 2 years not hearing from anybody. Did I read it correctly? Am I missing something?
Within a few months of that, yes. There was about two years. Request for that property through
so
Mr.
They were Rooms. Getting fined the $50 a day for those 2 years, and they made no communication. And you've sent, and you continued to send letters out notifying, because I saw one for $11,000 and change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the courtesy letter that we sent out after the hearing. Before COVID hit, we used to send out a courtesy letter letting individuals know that they had an outstanding lien or debt about every quarter, and then we just got away from that at some point.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dave. Anyone else? No. Okay. We would invite the applicant to please come up and share with us whatever you would like us to consider.
Hello. My name is Guada Joseph, and thank you for hearing my case.
Oh, please place your full name and address on the record.
My name is Guada Joseph. Address is 4745 South Atlantic Avenue, Unit 404. When we bought the place here from Atlanta, and from Atlanta, we did not know that we had to get a permit once we arrived here, because we receive a permit from the building that gives us the permission to do renovation. And we put the paper on the door, but we didn't know that we had to get the permit here. And we did get contractors that came in to do the work from Atlanta, because my husband is in that business and he has people that work for him that are in the business. So we did get people from Atlanta to come in with permit to come in and do the work, but we just didn't know that we had to get the permit here. That's one. And then Mr. David is correct. When we first received the notification, it went to an old house that we sold in Atlanta. So it took a while for us to actually receive the notification, because it went to the wrong address, the original address that we had on record. We sold that house, and then after we sold that house, and we were in Atlanta for a while. And when we first received the notification, it was, the work was pretty much done. And then it was at the height of the pandemic. So my husband, lost a lot of contract, because at the height of the pandemic, we still had problems, because he's a contractor for the University of Georgia and also Emory University. So he lost a lot of contract. He was not working. And then we both had COVID. So there were a lot of things going on during that period. And even though you didn't see communication in terms of letters, we came to the office several times to speak with Mr. Hooker and also the other individual in the office. Several times we came to the office. Every time we were in town, not every time, but many times we were in town, we came to the office. There was not an electronic record of it, but we came to the office to speak with them and let them know that because of what's going on with the pandemic, and also because the work was already completed by the time we were made fully aware of it, we could not get anyone to come in and really, decided to take the work, because we tried to get someone. And then my husband even thought about, okay, maybe I'll take the test in Florida and try to get license in Florida, but we just had so much going on with him being sick and everything. We honestly did not mean to be disrespectful of the process, and we did not mean to let the whole process go on for so long, especially because of the fees. It's just that a lot of things happened that were outside of our control. And we just didn't know that we had to get the permit from the city, because we had the paper from the building itself. And we apologize, frankly.
I just have a few questions. I understand, I checked this. Your real estate taxes are up to date?
Yes.
Your homeowner's insurance is paid?
Yes, ma'am.
And your condo assessments are up to date?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you had indicated that you had a financial hardship, but you haven't provided us with any documentation that would indicate, and the financial hardship goes to preventing you from correcting the violation, but you did correct it. So we don't have any financial hardship documents, and we don't have any medical hardship documents, nor any other mitigation. Those are, that by process is what we would need in order to entertain a reduction in the lien. Does anyone have any questions?
Just a couple.
Yes, go ahead.
So I guess the first question that really hit me was the letter that you're talking about from the building. Who gave you a letter?
Not a letter. They give us a permit kind of document to say that we're doing renovation. It's from the building that says that you're doing renovation. What is the contractor's name and who's going to be, what company it is, who's going to be doing
the work.
Okay,
did you put the contractor's name on that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, but then your contractor, is he local within this area?
The contractor was from Georgia. We got people.
Okay, so in Georgia, a contractor fully understands they have to have permits.
I mean, honestly, when we renovate existing structure, we normally do not get permit.
No, that is not true. There is no way.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, that answered that. You were fully aware, you and your husband were fully aware that you were being fined, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in the renovation was completed within a year, basically, or how long did it take for you started the renovation, we'll say June, say 2021. When was it completed?
It started I would say January, February.
Okay, well, we show June of 2021, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It was completed when?
It was by the time we received the notification, it was pretty much done.
Okay, yeah. That answers that. So then the last thing, you know, this has been going on for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Did you just think it would go away?
No, it just honestly. We just could not get a contractor to commit to come in because the work was already done. You know, I tried to contact several contractors. It was just extremely difficult to get someone to commit to come in because the work was already done.
Gotcha. I'm done.
Okay. Anyone else? Bill?
I was going to piggyback on something Skip said, but the thing that bothers me is you got that registered letter in September of 2021, and you were able to find a contractor in 2024. And I'm just backing up on what Skip said. How could you just let it go every day for almost 3 years and not doing anything? Your husband was a contractor. He knows the rules. And it's like Skip said, it wasn't going to go away. And that's why I just don't understand, because it's something that you could have corrected so easily so long ago.
It was extremely difficult to get a general contractor.
Believe me, I understand that. It's hard, especially when the job's finished. But, you know, you get that contractor and you give him some money, and then he goes and pulls a permit, and they'll sign off it if you've given him enough money, and it's a lot less than $48,000 or whatever this thing is.
Trust me, We tried. We tried.
Gary?
Well, I'm still slightly confused here, because if you were doing work without a permit, means you already had a contractor.
A contractor from Georgia, yes.
Okay, but he was a contractor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in the contracting business, every state needs a permit. And your contractor either was playing silly games with you or was trying to get away without getting the permit. The other issue in this state is you could get an owner-builder permit and then hire your own contractor and you take the full responsibility, but that also is possible. My big issue is, knowing that you had a small fine, why didn't you pay that and not let it accumulate to what it is today? That's my big issue.
Well, we couldn't pay it until we get the general contractor to come in and pull the permit. And we tried to get paid contractors to come in and pull the permit, but no one would take the work to say, okay, the work, because they said the work is already done, and they refused to take the work. And when we came here, I renovated a whole house in Atlanta, and I did not, my contractor did not pull a permit. You know, I'm honestly not familiar with the permit process. It wasn't until I received the notification from the city that I became aware of it. The building gave us the paper to say, you know, he put this on the door with your contractor's name that you guys are getting the work done. And we just did not know that we had to do anything else other than what the building gave us.
Anything else? Is there anyone, you would like to share with us? Is there anything else you wish to say?
No, just that we just, it just out of ignorance, you know, that we didn't know. And then since it happened, we've had a lot of, even though we do not have an electronic tracking for that, we've had a lot of conversation with Mr. Hooker and also other people from his office. We've been to the office several times to let them know the status of how we are doing in terms of looking for a contractor. We've come to the office several times.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank anything, you. Ms. Dave, is there anything else you wish to add? Anyone here prepared to make a motion?
I will. I'll make a motion that the original amount of $48,000 remain, and we set up a schedule of payments of when that should be paid, and I will entertain an idea on that, but I think it's within 30 days.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Sorry, Mayor, just so I'm clear with the motion so I can talk to Mr. and Ms. Joseph, it remains, but they wanted some sort of payment within a 30-day time period?
It has to be paid within 30 days.
Thank you.
Well, the timing is impeccable for Braden Kopeck. I think you just came in, didn't you? Hello. Your timing is impeccable. I know you have to go back to school. So just bear with me for one moment while I work on my paperwork here. Hang on one second. Don't move, anyone. Please just bear with me. I apologize. Well, I can say that we have someone who is providing a great source of pride for us in this town, and there has been some significant accomplishments by one of our wonderful residents, Braden Kopeck. And what we wish to do is we want to provide him with a certificate of recognition for all of his hard work, for all of his efforts. He really represents the best in all of us, and we are delighted that you picked the town of Ponce Inlet to live and work from here. And I am assuming our beautiful jetty and our wonderful ocean is where you practice. So what I'm going to do is I would love to read the certificate of recognition that we have prepared for you. And I think that we're going to want some pictures, and I'm sure some of our council members might want to say a few things to you as well, but we're very, very, very proud of you. So let me begin. We have a beautiful certificate of recognition for Braden Kopeck, and it's presented to Braden Kopeck for his remarkable achievements in the sport of surfing. Braden recently showcased his talent at the National Scholastic Surfing Association National Surfing Championships, where he earned two national titles in the Explorer Juniors and Explorer Men's divisions. His commitment to excellence in surfing is proven by his 22 championship event wins. Braden's resilience, passion for the ocean, and future aspirations exemplify the spirit of perseverance inspiring all those around him. Keep riding the waves of success. Presented with sincere appreciation on this 17th day of October, 2024, Lois Peritsky, Mayor. So, Braden, come on up here, and I hope to not embarrass you.
Yeah, so how about you put some down, and then you take it together. So you're covering the lovely clock that we have right.
Oh, the clock.
Every time I like to be here.
Look at this. I saw her. You had a positive.
Yeah. Joe, can you move to your left just about 4 inches? There you go. That's it. Perfect. Thank you. You guys. We're going to make Braden, we're going to make him say a few words.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to be a really big pain and have the council come down here.
Oh, that you want us to come down?
Okay.
Yeah, that looks horrible. I'm so sorry. But you all come down here and just be with us.
We're going down.
It just looks terrible. Yeah, it's like they look like they're 3 feet taller than all of you. And I know that's not true, so everybody come in.
This is a very happy time.
Yes, yes. So y'all can scooch in however you want. Some of you can come on this side, some on that side of the family. That will work. Yeah, that actually looks so much better. Oh my goodness, that is much better. I'm going to take a bunch in case anybody's blinking. Never speak. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it and understand what you've done.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
We're tickled.
Would you like to say a few words?
Or not?
Good, you say something.
Oh,
you know what? Speak into the mic. Everybody wants to hear this. We want to hear this.
So Brayden's been surfing since he was 3 years old. We've gone so many amazing places and met so many amazing people. And the ocean is really what brought us to Ponce Inlet. We were traveling so he could surf every day from Flagler Beach. And he homeschooled. And he made a lot of sacrifices in order to be able to compete for all of those events and all of those years. But his goal was always to win a national title. And a few months before the local championships were happening, he injured himself. He tore his ACL, and we didn't think that he would have the chance to compete on the national stage for his final year. So it was a miracle that he was able to heal up with physical therapy. And today is actually a very special day for us. It marks the 1 year anniversary since my father-in-law passed. And so I think he would be proud of his grandson even more than we can imagine. So, Brayden, we are all proud of you, and we love Ponce. No better place to live than here.
Thank you, guys, and thank you, Mom, for the kind words. And, yeah, I wouldn't be able to compete or do any of this without residing in such an amazing place like Ponce, so thankful to the people and the amazing people we have to take care of the place and make sure everything is going good, and to our amazing police officers as well that take care of us here in Ponce. So thank you, guys.
And I want to thank your father, who was so instrumental with our backing and forthing. We wanted to make sure that we could do it at a council meeting, but we know how busy you are with your college studies and all, and I know you have to go back, so you're good.
Thank you guys for accommodating my schedule. I really appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure. You take good care. You have wonderful children, and we're delighted to have as a family in Ponce Inlet all of you. So thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Well, I need to offer a little more credit here because I have experienced this, and I want to say something to the two parents. Because you never get a son to that level without a lot of sacrifice and a lot of travel and a lot of hours spent. And so because of what he is, you deserve a lot of that credit.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for getting here. Anything else?
Nope.
No? We're good? Okay. Thank you to the family. Back to business here.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. We are now at 13B, I believe, right? A discussion on the recommendation to abolish restrictions on panhandling, I think. And Cliff, you're up.
Actually, the chief was going to be up, but if he wants me to, I can go.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Short, on time.
Short version. We have a case that came out of the Middle District of Florida, one of my favorite courts, joking, and it basically just gutted the panhandling solicitation ordinance of the city of Daytona Beach. It's cited in the memo that you have in front of you, or should, Dennis Scott et al. Versus the city of Daytona Beach. Without greatly going into the multi-page details of the memo that we created, our ordinance suffers from similar infirmities, at least according to the court, and so our recommendation in simple form is, can our ordinance and just follow the criminal statutes that we already have on the books that aren't going to be called out as
unduly unconstitutional for picking on a class or whatever, you know.